Hello and welcome to the programme. Today, captured for the first time ever, the song of one of the rarest whales on the planet, the North Pacific right whale. Standing on the shoulders of giants, Terry Flanagan learns about picky eaters in the fish world and the threat global warming poses to the wildlife in our back gardens.
There's some very good evidence that the great tits, which is a common bird here in Ireland, across Europe, a garden bird, woodland bird, they rely on caterpillars to feed their chicks, largely on caterpillars, and caterpillars are very sensitive in their development to temperature. So as the temperatures have increased, the sort of annual peak in all of this caterpillar abundance has essentially shifted to earlier in the year by a couple of weeks. And the birds have in turn have responded by breeding earlier, but not early enough. So you get this timing mismatch between the birds and the food that they're feeding their chicks.
You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney, for more on any item covered in today's programme and our extensive archive. Now, there's exciting research being carried out in Ireland into bats, and it's believed that it could enable us to tackle the ageing process and help us to live longer lives. We've discussed this on the programme before. The huge diversity of mammals has fascinated evolutionary biologists for centuries. From the largest 170-ton blue whale to the smallest 2-gram flying, echolocating bumblebee bat. Exploration of this vast diversity is now possible due to the development of state-of-the-art next-generation sequencing technologies and has led to some of the greatest insights into the functioning and evolution of the human genome. Professor Emmett Teeling, head of zoology in Trinity College Dublin, is an international leader in this field. She's developed a unique world-leading research programme which is using state-of-the-art technology with traditional field studies to uncover how to live healthier and longer.
First of all, I would like to say thank you very much to the Royal Irish Academy for giving me this opportunity to give a discourse. And also I'd like to thank the audience for coming out on a wet, rainy Tuesday evening. I was worried.
Our own Dr. Richard Collins joined Professor Teeling at a recent event in the Royal Irish Academy, where she shared her findings.
So my talk was about trying to understand and uncover what are the molecular mechanisms that bats have evolved that allow them resist aging, showing that bats repair their DNA as they age. They remove the cellular damage they experience from their high metabolic rate as they age, and that then we need to think about how can we then translate that into potentially making a drug for humans. Plus, we're going to understand aging. It's one of the most complex of all of the biologies. And by studying bats, studying naked mole rats, studying killifish, studying birds, studying humans in an aging context, we can understand one of the most complex biological phenomena.
When a baby is born in the maternity hospital, is there a little tag on its toe which says something like, best before the 18th of October 2029? And the nurses cut this off and they throw it away. Is this the case? Because from a geneticist's point of view, are we pre-programmed? Is there a kind of pre-programmed longevity, say 800 million heartbeats and so many breaths and so on and so on? Or is this model wrong?
Which is a very interesting question. The question is your lifespan predetermined on the day that you're actually born? And so there used to be a rational thought that potentially there was this clock and that the length of your lifespan was going to be predicted. Now, there are definitely things that would indicate whether or not you're going to have a longer lifespan. Typically, it's whether or not your grandparents and your parents had longer lifespans. So there is heritable factors that will correlate, such as heart disease can run in the family, potentially Alzheimer's can run in the family. Okay. So the question is whether or not longer lifespan is heritable. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people think, yes, it is. There are other people think maybe it's not quite, and that environment can play a huge role. But think about two identical twins. And you get identical twins, and you've got one that had, you know, did the right things, didn't smoke, didn't take all the wrong kinds of food and maybe live a slovenly life, it was more fit and more healthy, are they going to have a longer lifespan? Potentially, yes. Unless they both have some congenital disease that's going to kill them. What's very interesting at the moment, you've touched on this, is that is there any way that maybe there is a clock-like prediction of how one is going to age? And rather than just being looking at, say, example, telomeres that shorten with age or heartbeats, what they've now found is this thing called this methylation signature. And so what will happen is that as you age, you get these little methyl signatures on your genome that switch on and off different genes. And what they've shown in mice is that when you go sequence the genome and they look at these methylation sites, you can predict to the very day that lab mouse is going to die. They've now also shown that potentially in humans, you can look at the methylation signature in your on your genome and you can predict or you can guess how old somebody is. So potentially there is a clock, and the clock governs all vertebrates, and they're working on it at the moment. They've also shown that they can do these potential aging intervention methods and can slow that methylation down, or maybe you can rejuvenate that aging process down. But what this methylation signature maybe does is that it controls the genes and the expression of genes. And we know as we age, our genes become dysregulated. So potentially there is. But I think environment plays a huge role, which is genetics, plays a role with what you're exposed to and how you interact does. Definitely, long-lived grandparents predict that their offspring will be longer lived. The longest lived woman in the world, Jeanne Calment, she lived till she was 122, both as a grandparents lived and parents lived for a very long time.
Well, Emma, 10 million cells have come into the world. And they're a kind of envelope which will carry genes on to the next generation. Now, it's conceivable, a philosopher might say, well, it's just a vehicle for the transfer of genes onwards. And it makes sense, in a way, for it to have a finite life, because if it lingers on after it's transferred the genes after reproduction, then it's wasting up resources that would be better used by its offspring and grand offspring. So is there any truth in that way of looking at things?
Now, Richard, if you were to look at those things, that you would mean that women who are post-menopause should all be killed.
They shouldn't, because the woman is a filing cabinet. In our biology, vast information was stored. It's experience that can guarantee survival, and the woman will retain that experience for decades, and she will get her offspring and grand offspring out of a fix in years to come. So genetically, it is wise to keep this resource alive.
I completely agree. And menopause, not many mammals experience menopause. I know there's known documentation for us, potentially for whales also. And the idea of having a grandmother that can help the mother raise the offspring who can remember things, remember where to go. I think there's a correlation between survival, these are in primate societies, between survival of offspring and having a postmenopausal grandmother around. You've got much better chance if granny's around.
As we go through life, this collection of 10 million genes or cells is going to divide and break down and so on and reproduce. Now, there are these things called telomeres, which you mentioned all the time, little strings at the ends of cells. And every time a cell divides and produces daughter cells, it sheds some of these. And they gradually get worn down. I don't know how many there are, 50 or something like that in a cell. And when they're all used up, it is requiescant in pace, is it?
Yes. So the idea is that as your telomeres shorten and shorten and shorten and shorten, because your cell has replicated, it gets so short that this cell becomes a senescent cell. Now, what the cell should do is should self-destruct. And this is supposed to have been evolved as an anti-cancer mechanism. You don't want too many replications happening within the cell. Potentially, there's potential DNA damage there. So this healthy, this is what should happen. But something goes wrong sometimes, and that this senescent cell, this old cell, sits there. And the self-destruct doesn't happen. And it starts to emit this thing called SASP. And it's this signal to need pull other cells towards it to turn them into zombie cells. And all of a sudden you get this buildup of these old cells that aren't replicating, that are emitting all this SASP, causing other cells to get old, getting the immune system to be completely inflamed. This is supposed to be aging. And indeed, some of these companies now in Silicon Valley, they have invested lots of money into trying to remove these cells. Because they think if you can remove the old cells, you have a much higher chance of not driving the aging process faster. Indeed, people who were born with defects in their genes that allow them to maintain their telomeres age much more quickly. And this is potentially as a result of the problems of having too much of these senescent cells.
Now, you like to compare eat, drink and make merry animals, such as rats and things like that, and rabbits and things that live it up, live dangerously and die young, with safe, dull, rather careful kind of creatures. So we have on the one end of the spectrum with things like the Greenland shark, which clocks up 400 years, doesn't breed and he's 160 or something like that, and bowhead whales and things like that. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have things that last a couple of weeks. You know. Well, now, does the aging process in the bowhead whale go much more slowly? Do his cells live longer, survive longer than those of a shrew or something like that?
It's a really good question. And the question is, how fast can those cells turn over? The answer is, I actually don't know. So I'm not quite sure of that research. What I do know is that these whales have also evolved ways to slow down potentially the proliferation of their cells and potentially the fact that maybe their cells can become cancerous. This is required to be a very big-bodied animal, potentially telomeres. Rodents, on the other hand, they don't really care because they can wreak complete havoc. You have some other weird marsupials that also live way shorter than we expected, because what seems to happen is the males end up looking for mates, getting very aggressive, fighting, mating, and then dying. And the idea is that even if you take those animals into the lab, because we used to argue that with some of these marsupials, this living life to the high, fighting, mating, not eating, then death, that it was only because they were fighting too much or they were mating too much. But actually, there does seem to be a pre-programmed death within them, which maybe comes from too much hormones. So what I think is wonderful to think of all these different life history strategies that you see in different species. These rodents and rabbits make lots of babies very fast and then die. Bowhead whales, on the other hand, are the extreme. Live very slow, have fewer babies. The question is, which one is more evolutionary successful?
Now, the question I have for you is this. We are, of course, part of the great whale fraternity, the old, safe, ponderous, kind of long-lived, insurance-ridden kind of animals, do you see? And now we want to survive longer. So are we, we look at things like rats and things to find a way of doing this. Is this wise, and will it be a good thing if will we succeed? Will we find ways of living longer? And is that necessarily the right way to go?
Well, I think we will. I think we have to. But right now, let's think where we are. Globally, people everywhere are living longer. By 2050, there's going to be a 380% increase in people over the age of 80. We're all getting older. But our probability of having disease of the old age, cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, stay the same. That's when we're 60 years of age. So we have to find a solution. There's right now in the United States, people are trying drugs such as metformin. I think it's the eighth most prescribed drug in America. It was originally a drug for diabetes, but they found there was all these beneficial effects in terms of the aging process. They yet don't know exactly what it is that it does. It seems to a lot of the things that I see that in the bats, they seem to have modulated to allow them to slow down the aging process. They also know what dosage should take to really have this life extension effect. One of the reasons why we don't is because people were quite opposed to clinical trials. They weren't going to allow it. They were going to let us do it. And I think this is because we were in this, as Aubrey de Grey calls it, we're in this pro-aging trance. We've got to stop that. These are diseases that are caused by living. So living, your metabolism causes damage. And when that damage then becomes pathogenic, that's disease. That's old age. But imagine if you could stop it. So wouldn't it be much better to have a society that could function until their death? Because you can't stop aging entirely, but you can slow down the ill effects of aging. And that's all I'm trying to argue, is shorten the morbidity, have your lifespan, your health span at the same. And maybe there are things that you can do. Exercise, starve. Even the jury's out in really how good starving is. Take potentially some of these drugs. Have a stress-free life. Find ways. And I think people everywhere, we're living healthier, but we need to make sure that we can live healthier longer. And I still think that studying these bats, studying the naked mole rats, studying these extraordinary aging extremists will give us insights in what we need to do. And when do we need to start this intervention?
At birth or late middle age.
Or post-puberty.
Post-puberty. Because that's when we need to start.
Yeah, maybe that's when we need to start.
Emma, you are an inspiration. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. And for more on bats, visit the website rte.ie/Mooney.